Hi, I'm Daniel.
And I'm Jorge.
And we're here to explain the universe.
Explain the universe.
Dude, you came in so late there.
Oh, sorry. I guess
Do you
want to
travel back in time and get that right?
I guess I was out of time.
Hi, I'm Daniel.
And I'm Jorge.
And we're here to
explain the universe. I'm Jorge, I'm a cartoonist, the creator of PhD Comics.
And I'm Daniel, I'm a particle physicist.
And together we're the authors of the book We Have No Idea,
which tries to tackle some of the biggest questions of the universe and doesn't answer any of them.
That's right. Like, for example, today's topic, which is... Which movies get time travel right?
Are there any science fiction movies that actually get time travel scientifically correct? Any that could really plausibly happen given some technology in the future that we could invent? That's the question we're going to tackle today. We went out in the street and we asked people what they thought. What do you think? Here's what people on the street had to say. Do you think time travel is possible?
I think theoretically, yes, like based on math and everything, but I don't think we as humans will be able to.
I hope so, but I don't know if it is because everyone in movies always says you need infinite energy, and I don't think that's possible.
Probably. I mean, there's so much out there that we don't know about that I don't think I could really rule it out.
What's your favorite time travel movie, Daniel?
Man, I got to tell you, I don't think I like any time travel movies.
What do you mean? You can't enjoy any of them.
Right. The problem for me is that when I watch science fiction, I really want it to make sense. I mean, you can invent whatever rules you want. You come up with your own universe, with your own physics, whatever. Mm. But then it has to follow those rules. Because if you don't follow the rules, then anything can happen. And then you're not really invested. Because at any point, the plot could just shift and twist and spike. And, you know, you could save the universe with crazy glowing bananas or something. So you have to have some rules.
What do you think it's so appealing about time travel? Right? There's so many movies about it, books. Why do you think humans love to think about time travel or wish they could do it?
I think there's a lot of reasons. I think one is just fascination. Like, I'd like to go back and see what dinosaurs really looked like, or I'd like to know who really killed JFK, or I'd like to travel to the future and, like, learn the secrets of the universe that humans will one day reveal, right? There's this feeling that we're, like, trapped in the present. And if only we could travel somewhere else, we could seize and learn something new. And some of these things are facts. Like, there is a real story about how the dinosaurs died or how the moon was made or all this kind of stuff. And it really happened. And in some cases, the clues for it are just gone. And if you could travel back in time, you could learn those things for real.
The other big thing is that people wish they could change things they've done in the past, right?
Of course, who doesn't, right?
Yeah, like regret. You have regret about things you did. You wish you could go back and, like, I don't know, been more bold with a certain person or been more said something differently than before. So that feeling of regret, like, oh, I can't go back.
That's right. And we're trained, like, in video games, you know, you have another life or you can save the game and go back and try it again, right? That's a really tempting idea. Or you remember an argument you had and then you wish you had gone back and said something different, like when you'd had time later to come up with a really juicy zinger and you could go back and deliver it and embarrass somebody. We've all fantasized about that.
And then in terms of the future, we worry about the future, right? It's like an unknown that makes us concerned. So we sometimes wish we could see what's going to happen.
Yeah. Or even steal secrets from the future, right? Imagine you could go forward in 100 years, scoop up a bunch of inventions, bring them back, and then, you know, get rich and famous, right?
Yeah.
You could steal ideas from people who haven't even been born yet, right? It's like almost a victimless crime because the victims are not even yet fetuses.
Right. So you could, it's also this idea of the past and the future being inaccessible to us. Like you said, we're trapped in the present.
And the present itself is a weird idea. Like, what is the present? You know, if you imagine, like, time is like a line, the present is like a moment, an instant along that line. But weirdly, it's not static, right? It's not a place like in space. It, like, moves forward at 1 second per second.
Right.
And we could spend a whole podcast diving into the mysteries and the science of time. And probably we should. We don't have time today, but I think it's worth thinking about what time is so we can understand what aspects of time travel are scientifically problematic so that we're prepared when we dig into all these deeply flawed time travel movies.
Yeah, well, then that makes sense why there are so many movies and stories about it. It's like it's a great fantasy to be able to travel through time.
Absolutely. I'd love to be able to do it. I mean, if somebody built a real working time machine, I would be first in line to use it to answer deep questions about the universe and go forwards and backwards and, you know, buy a different pair of socks and all sorts of stuff.
We just wrote down a little sentence here that I think will help us drive home the point of what time is, which is by saying what time is not, right?
Absolutely. That's a great way to define things. There's a long list of what time isn't.
Time is not raspberries.
Not time is not clouds.
Yeah. But an interesting one we wrote down was time is not like space. So
right.
What does that mean?
Well, we're all fascinated with space, right? And the idea of space travel is fun. And even just in terms of space, like as in your environment, like where you are on Earth, we get in our car, we drive somewhere, we have this agency, right? We can go where we want. We can move forward and backward. We can move up and down a little bit. We can move side to side. We have this freedom to move in space.
Right.
And I think that's where this notion of travel comes from. And we'd love to apply that same notion to time. And in fact, it's very scientifically titillating to think of time as a fourth dimension of space. Mm. And it's true that in Einstein's relativity, he binds time and space together into this one concept called space-time.
It's like part of the same kind of space, right? All part of the same...
Mathematical construct. It's a four-dimensional mathematical construct that has three dimensions of space and one dimension of time.
And we kind of wish we could travel through time the way we travel around in space, like skipping around or doing loops or going back to the same spot. But we can't do that with time. It's like it's one-directional and it's always moving forward.
That's right. And in any science fiction universe, you're going to have a theory of physics. You're going to have some science in that universe. And that theory is going to have time in it, right? If it's a story where something happens, right? And if it has time in it, then it has to have cause and effect. And that's causality, right? A happens, then B. If A caused B, then A has to happen before B. In science fiction, we typically give people free rein to come up with their own new laws of physics and then create a story in that universe, right? That's the creative element of it.
Oh.
But they have to come up with a consistent set. And for it to be consistent, it has to follow causality. And causality rules out time travel.
Right. So that's
the big
bummer.
So you're basically screwed. That's the big bummer. Yeah.
That's the big bummer. Everything has to be linked from A to B, B to C by the laws of physics. You can't just kind of jump around.
That's right. And you also can't even really avoid it by trying to make like little changes. You know, there's this famous story, one of the earlier time travel stories, Ray Bradbury. I think the story is called The Butterfly Effect. Mm. Guy goes back in time and he goes, he's like hunting T-Rexes or something pretty awesome. There's some company, and they tell them, you can't touch anything but the T-Rex. They find T-Rexes which were already going to die, so it doesn't affect anything else in the future. But he accidentally steps on a butterfly, and he kills that butterfly. And killing that butterfly has some effect. You know, some lizard which was going to eat that butterfly now doesn't and then dies. Mm-hmm. And then the thing that was going to eat that lizard dies. And then the thing that was going to eat that, right? And then dot, 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 50 million years later, who knows how big the effects are? The world is a chaotic system. Any tiny little change, like crushing a butterfly, could lead to enormous changes, like humans don't evolve, or the world is completely different. So any change to the past can have enormous cataclysmic effects in the future.
Which might affect the human going back in time in the first place, right?
Exactly. Think about it like everything that happened in the past is a partial cause of you, because the system is so complicated and interconnected that anything in the past can conceivably play a role in your creation. So if you're the time traveler and you go back and do anything, even just breathe air molecules and warm them up a little bit, you're changing some of the things that caused you. And so then you, as a physical object in a science-based universe, no longer really exist, right? So it's an immediate paradox. Even if you just go back in time and take a breath, right?
Right.
None of this, like,
you're affecting the molecules that might have somehow influenced you being there.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay, so cause and effect is a big bummer. It means that you can't mess around with the ordering of things. You can't mess with logic and the laws of physics.
And even small changes will snowball into large effects. Right. I remember now the name of that story is The Sound of Thunder. It's a Ray Bradbury story. It's a really awesome story.
Cool. All right, so you're saying time travel is impossible.
Now, we should clarify time travel backwards is impossible.
Backwards.
Right, because that would reorder cause and effect, right?
Because we're always traveling forward.
We're always traveling forward in time. That's not a problem.
We're all time travelers.
We are all time travelers. It's not a very exciting ride, but you're on it.
And technically, some could even travel forwards faster than others, right? Like if I hop in a spaceship, goes with the speed of light, come back, I travel through time differently than you.
That's right. Now that we're done with the bummer part, that time travel backwards is not possible, let's talk about the exciting part, which is you're absolutely right. Time travel forward, there's nothing preventing that.
Okay, cool.
And you could build a machine which, you know, just, I mean, it's very simple, actually, technologically. You just, like cryogenics. If I freeze you, right, the Jorge popsicle stays in place for a million years. As long as we have technology to de-thaw you and revive you in 5 million years, then you have traveled forward 5 million years. And
like my consciousness will have taken a break, popped out in a future time.
That's right, yeah.
Oh.
And I mean, there's lots of moral and biological problems with that. But from a physics point of view, you're just stretching cause and effect. You're not breaking it. You're making the effects later.
Stretching it. Okay.
Yeah.
So time travel backwards is impossible. And that's kind of the basis of most fun movies, right? It's like going back and changing something.
Yeah. And I want to talk about that some more. But first, let's take a quick break.
So time travel backwards is impossible. That's the basis of most fun movies. And so how do most movies get around this, like, impossibility of breaking causality and logic?
Yeah, so I think that most movies are just banking on the fact that nobody's really paying super close attention and is just there for the ride and doesn't care as much as I do about movies being logically consistent.
They assume most people are not trained physicists.
That's right. And I think a lot of science fiction fans probably more relaxed about whether the universe follows its rules. And so if you're willing to break the rules, then, you know, you can do anything you like. But they at least put up the appearance usually of trying to follow some rules. And so how do they do it? Well, one classic way is the split universe.
Hmm.
They say, okay, you go back in time to see your grandfather, for example. And then when you arrive back in time, you split the universe. There's the original universe in which you didn't go back in time.
Right.
And there's this new universe where you've gone back in time.
Like it's and so a you timeline. You talk about timelines, right?
Yeah. And so you're a product of the original timeline called Timeline Zero. And now you have inserted yourself into another universe called Timeline One. And if you make changes in Timeline One, it doesn't affect Timeline Zero, which is what caused you, what created you, where you came from.
Like that.
So you're free to muck up Timeline One. You can kill your grandfather, for example, and he can be dead. And in Timeline One, you're never even born.
Right. Well, there's a famous scene, that famous scene in Back to the Future where Doc Brown, played by Christopher Lloyd, explains, basically, like, he whips out a chalkboard and explains time travel to Marty. And so he, like, draws a line and says, like, this is the timeline you're in. And then you travel back in time and you split off a different timeline.
Man, that movie has so many problems. I don't even know where to start. Because, yeah, they try to go, in that movie, they try to go for the alternate timeline theory.
Right, that's the theory, right? Like,
But it doesn't even really make sense because in that movie, he has, broken up his parents. So his parents won't get together, so they won't make him, right? So he won't exist anymore.
Right.
So problem number one is, if they're in the split timeline theory, then it shouldn't matter, right? He's in a new timeline, but he's disappearing. You notice, like, he's fading from the photographs and his hand is becoming transparent. Why is that happening if he's from the original unchanged timeline?
It's like you're assuming the new timeline can affect the old timeline.
Yeah, in which case you're not really in a split timeline at all.
Okay.
The other thing, this is the thing that really irks me about that whole approach, is that why does he fade slowly, right? It takes him, like, you know, 2 hours of movie time for his hand to gradually disappear, and then it's moving up his forearm.
The universe should have just exploded right away.
No, if he doesn't exist anymore, then boom, he just doesn't exist. It makes no sense.
You're killing a childhood favorite movie here.
I know. It's a great movie, everybody. I love the movie. Go and watch it. I showed it to my kids. They loved it. Uh-huh. But from a time perspective, it just makes no sense. And that's the part that drives me bonkers.
You show it to your kids effect. And then, like, I can imagine you showing it to your kids. Okay, the movie ended. Then you whip out a chalkboard and then launch it to a 1-hour lecture of how this movie was bonkers.
That's right.
All right, kids. That's I right. hope you enjoyed that. It's all wrong. Well, in comparison, let's compare this now to other ways in which other movies have sort of tried to get around this impossibility of time travel. So what are other ways that movies try it?
So other ways people do it is to imagine one consistent universe mm-hmm. where you go back in time and then you change the future, but the future has already been affected by your going back in time.
Meaning right? So it's like a you loop. Can't change the future.
Well, you can. The past always can change the future, right? That's the way it works, right? Mm-hmm. Causality. A causes B. You change A, it changes B. But in these stories, they try to make it so that the future comes back to affect the past and that past has already been taken into account into the future. So an example of that is the movie like Looper or Primer is sort of similar.
Right. Or where they have, Harry Potter is one of my favorite time travel movies. The third Harry Potter. Have you seen the Harry Potter movies?
Yeah.
It's like he goes back in time and tries to change things, but it turns out he was there all along.
That's right. He was there all along.
And the same thing was going to happen anyways.
That's right. And so they avoid the split universe thing, right? Where it happens one way once, then happens another way later. Like that makes any sense for it to happen later. We're talking about time travel, right? Mm-hmm. And so in the Harry Potter example, he loops back and he's there. There's sort of two of him for a while, right? Uh-huh. There's the one that's come back to change this and the one, the original one. Mm-hmm. So the A version and the B version. Uh-huh. And so the way they try to avoid that, any inconsistencies there, is that the second time through, when he's looped back and he's observing the same events from now, having already seen it once, he somehow feels obligated to follow the rules, right? Because he could break them. If Harry goes back in time and doesn't save his life, what would happen? Well, we don't know, right? Because then he would die and then he wouldn't be there in the future to come back and he wouldn't be there anymore, right? It would blow up the universe. It suddenly wouldn't make sense logically. So if he saves him, if future Harry saves him and then he becomes future Harry and doesn't save himself, it's a logical inconsistency.
Well, so that's a separate question of like, is there free will in the universe and all that? But, you know, that's I feel like critical. That's a separate conversation.
No, that's totally connected because the cause and effect, right? We have the freedom, we have the free will to change causes. That's how we have an effect on the future, right?
Oh, my goodness. Well, we could launch into a whole thing about free will, but like as an idea of like a single timeline in which the future, in which the present already took into account you going back in time, what's wrong with that idea?
From a physics point of view, everybody has to play nice, right? So everybody has to agree, we're going to follow this dance card and do exactly what we know we have to do to create the future that we came from. It only works if there's a very tightly constructed loop there where the things you did in the past cause your future self, exactly the person who then came back to the past, right?
Right. What if that to happen? Well, you said that it's, the way you said it, it has to be finely constructed, right? So if the writer is really good and finely constructed, then it's logically consistent, isn't it?
All right. So there's two possibilities.
Right.
If you believe in free will, this is all bunk because there's no way to control what people do.
Right.
And people have the options to do whatever they like, including screwing up the future.
Right.
If you don't believe in free will, if you think that people are just a product of their experiences and their situations, then there's still a problem. Even if you're a brilliant writer, you're having to solve an enormously chaotic problem, right? Which is somehow create a past which exquisitely causes the future, which will then come back and cause that same past. Like even in the Harry Potter example, he can't just decide what he's going to do. He's got to follow a dance card and to be told exactly what to do.
And
other movies have the same idea. For example, one of my favorites that I mentioned earlier, Primer. Mm-hmm. In Primer, they climb into a box and the box moves them back in time. And then they get out of the box, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's two of them. So there's two of them that overlap in the same time period.
Right.
So, but before they get in the box, they have to isolate themselves because there's two of them at the same time. One of them has to isolate itself so that it doesn't interact and it doesn't do anything to mess up the future.
Right.
So the way they've handled it there is they've said, well, one of them is going to be a good citizen. It's going to go sit in a basement and not interact and not create any time problems, right? Mm-hmm. And you see this a lot in time travel movies where they say, they travel back in time and they say, oh, don't touch that, or you can't kiss that girl because you'll cause a problem, right?
Right.
But it's impossible because the world is so complicated and so interconnected that, as we were saying earlier, anything you do, even just being there, is going to cause these problems.
Right. Over millions of years, though, that's more likely, right?
Yes.
Like small changes over millions of years, that's a problem. But, you know, maybe like small changes over a couple hours.
Yeah, you're right. If we destroy the universe in a million years, who cares, right? As long as we get to make money in the stock market.
Okay.
Yeah, I see where you're going.
Well, this is a perfect point to take a break. Okay, so those are two great devices. Multiple timelines, one exquisitely constructed, logically consistent timeline in which there's no free will. Are there any other ways that people do time travel?
Well, there's a whole other approach, which is trying to think of time as a dimension of space, right? And that's sort of the original idea we had earlier. Like, why can't we move through time the way we move through space?
Right.
And you see this in some movies, for example, very famously in Interstellar.
Oh.
You saw this movie. It involves a guy going into a black hole, which has its own problems we can talk about in another episode. But imagine
we could have a whole episode just on how Interstellar has problems.
And Interstellar, a great movie. Lots of the physics is correct. But this part of it is total gibberish. He goes inside of a black hole, and inside the black hole, he can move through time as if it was space. Like he can say, oh, I'm at this time. I'm going to walk over to the left by 10 feet. That's going to take me back 20 years.
And he's tesseract, right? Like this kind of like kaleidoscope type of reality where like moving sideways moves you sideways backwards in time or something.
Exactly. And he uses that to talk to his daughter and to send her a message and give her the secret physics that knowledge that means that they can get off the planet, et cetera, et cetera. Problem with that is he's moving through time as if it was space, right? Mm-hmm. So like, he's here, and then he was there.
Mm-hmm.
So they've created another dimension of time on top of it, right? What does moving through time mean? Moving is motion over time. It just doesn't make any sense. And the reason is that stories have time, right? Stories are a narrative. I'm sitting down, I'm telling you a story by the fire. We're cavemen. There's a narrative. It starts and it finishes. It has to have time through it. So if you're going to create this new idea of time, being able to move through time like it was space, you can't tell that story without adding another new dimension of time to it. So in Interstellar, they create time as if it was a dimension of space, but then they bolt on this new dimension of time without telling you.
Extra time, movie time, story time.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting that we can't like, and that's kind of the magic of movies, right? Is that you can make fantasies and store in books and stories, you can like violate the laws of physics and still somehow come out with a fun story.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And you know, that part of that movie is forgiven. I personally liked Interstellar a lot. I thought it was a lot of fun. I rolled my eyes and groaned at that one scene, you know, but I like that.
You groan, physics saves the universe. And everyone's like, oh, and you're like, groan.
I try to groan quietly and internally. I save it for this. I save it for talking to you, Jorge. I bottle up all that resentment. And,
I remember, for you. I remember I went to see Contact. You remember the movie Contact?
Of course, love that movie.
One of like my favorite movies of all time. It's about this woman who receives a signal from space, and it's her search for like what the meaning of life. And it's an amazing movie, really great. It's based on a Carl Sagan
book. And a movie
Sagan
where the
book.
Scientist is the hero, right?
Right,
not an evil scientist, not a bad scientist, not a mad scientist, not a selfish, crazy scientist, but the hero.
Yeah, awesome movie. Go see it. Robert Zemeckis directed it. But I happened to go to see that movie when it first came out with a bunch of signal processing PhDs.
Uh-oh.
Like four of them. These are like Stanford PhDs and like signal. And we came out and I was like, oh, that was amazing. And they were just laughing at like all the ways they try to boost the signal or like, let's invert the phase, whatever. And they thought that was all bonkers.
It's probably like going to see, it's like probably like watching, you know, CSI with a bunch of actual forensic scientists.
Or
you
like
know, enhance that image, you know. So, but I try to be a good citizen in the movie theater. I groan internally and I try not to spoil everybody else's experience.
You keep it in.
Bottle it up. Exactly. Another one in that same category is the movie Arrival, which is based on a short story called The Story of Your Life.
Yeah, I love that
and
story.
It's a nice story, yeah. It's very well written. It's beautifully written. And it has the same idea. Aliens come, and these aliens have a different perception of time. They can move through time as if it was a dimension of space.
Mm.
And the cool thing is that the author has thought about what would that mean for their language. So in the short story, at least, and a little bit in the movie, it changes the linguistics of the aliens, which makes it hard initially for humans to figure out what they're doing because they write their sentences all at once, not like, I'm right. starting now and I'm ending there. They have this different kind of language where they
it's
create
like
this blob.
Consciousness. I think the idea is that the consciousness of the aliens are spread through time.
Yeah.
Like it, like their brains are spread through space, their consciousness is spread through time. And so they can like reference facts from the future and from the present and from the past.
Mm-hmm.
And that's cool. But that breaks the causality thing, right? Like their consciousness in the future can't possibly affect the consciousness in the past, right?
There's that problem, but I don't even have to get into that to take apart that movie, which is they have this nice idea, but they don't even really follow through because, for example, the aliens have a conversation with us back and forth. I say this, you say that. I say this, you say that. Mm-hmm. A conversation has time in it, right? So if they were going to be consistent about it, then they should just be one blob of a conversation. Here's everything I'm going to ever say to you all at once, right? There shouldn't be any back and forth in their linguistic structure at all.
Well, they were like down to us. That was the problem, right? They needed to find out how to talk down to us.
Uh-huh,
humans
right.
who only thought it linearly forward.
Yeah, we're too stupid to understand their language, right? or we're too stupid to find the plot holes in the story. Right? It's the same idea that they want to liberate us from time because that's a really appealing idea, but they need to tell a story. And in the story, time has to move forward. There has to be dramatic elements. There
something
have to be things
in the
we
future
discover.
Can't really affect something in the past. Right? Like you can't reverse, right?
Absolutely.
All right, well, I think we're out of time, Daniel. Time's up.
Let's time travel back to the beginning of this podcast and do it all over again.
And start over. How do you know we didn't? Maybe we did.
Maybe this is the second time.
Yeah. Maybe this is the second time.
Good thing
time
we went back and we made this podcast so funny.
You should have seen the first time we recorded this. And the first time you listened to this podcast. Oh my God.
Right.
You were groaning out loud like Daniel in the theater.
Do you have a question you wish we would cover? Send it to us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Daniel and Jorge, one word, or email us to feedback@danielandjorge.com.